Before the Echo is brought to you by Exodus Outdoor Gear, Osseo Gear, and Stealth Outdoors. What's up, everybody?
Going on. Howdy, howdy.
You may want to put your mic up to your mouth, Patrick.
Howdy, howdy.
Oh, I hope everybody's doing good tonight. How's Tennessee over there, Patrick?
It's doing good. How's Indiana?
Couldn't be better over here in Indiana. You about touched me, huh?
I'm so close.
Yeah.
I'm so close.
We got a pillar we're sitting on Patrick's back porch, and it looks like we're in two different places with that pillar in the middle of us. So we're out here hunting turkeys.
Yep. We're not hunting them.
No. We were done. So you can only kill one turkey a day. You can kill two turkeys in Tennessee, but one a day. And we were tagged out about 7:07 this morning, or I was, for the day.
Yep. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. We won't go into a lot of detail about it, because I'm going to have to put a video out probably Wednesday about it.
Yep.
But man, it was probably one of my best turkey hunts I've ever had.
Cool.
There was one other one.
A lot of fun.
There's one other one I did with Jordan Barnes. He has the YouTube channel Close Proximity.
Yeah.
He's from Georgia.
I've been watching a little bit of his stuff.
Yeah. It was like a early afternoon hunt.
Yeah.
And he shot one with a bow that was like perfect scenario too, yeah, where we struck him. He set up decoys. He is the most amazing caller I've ever heard.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a bird killed with his bow within like 10 minutes of us going in the woods. You know, kind of one of those deals. But
one of those,
that wasn't my hunt. That was just me filming it.
Well, those suicide birds.
Yeah. Well, there was like three toms came in.
Really?
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. Like 2-year-olds or whatever, like you were talking about earlier.
That's fine.
But it was an awesome hunt. We're going to go in the morning again. Hopefully Patrick will get one too.
Yeah. Yeah. We're looking forward to it. It'll be fun.
Yep. So this is something new we're going to do on the channel. We're going to do it in addition to our just normal every week hunting talk. We'll probably talk about hunting a little bit on this, but we don't know how much we're going to do it, but
we're going to get started and we'll see where it goes.
Yeah. And I hope you guys get something out of it. Like, my faith is especially in the last couple of years, it's been like something that I've really focused on. And I feel like, I don't know, something just, I was talking to Patrick. We talked about God the last time you were on.
Mm-hmm.
And
talking about a good bit, we just kind of got on the subject.
Yeah,
we just went off. We were hanging out. I don't know what we're talking about, but I went back to it a couple of times. Then we got into it. And then, we went on to what we were doing for the podcast.
And I got like more than one message from folks like thanking me for it. And like, you know, one guy, I'm obviously not going to say his name, but he was like, you don't know me, but I'm really going through something right now. And I needed to hear what you guys talked about on the show. Man, I don't even remember what it was, to be honest with you, like you're saying.
We'd have to go back and look at the podcast, because I don't remember. I talk so much that I forget what I say most of the time.
So in my book, these shows, whether we do them every week, whether we do them once a month, we don't know yet. It's going to probably be whatever God kind of calls us to do.
Yeah.
We were talking about earlier, Patrick has an idea on some scripture that he'd like to talk about. Maybe we'll do that next week. Obviously we're not going to be sitting together every time. This is just happened to be a good timing. And so we'll let you know. So if you all get something out of this tonight, please share it, because I think this is going to be like probably the most important thing we do on this channel.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you have any ideas or you have something you want to talk to us about too, or want us to, not that, look, first off, I'm going to just say, Josh is fixing
to say this.
We're not theologians.
No,
we're hunters who love Christ. And he and I, we've been friends for probably about a year and a half now. And the way we met was just, it was a God thing. We get along really good. We've got a lot of the same faith. We have good talks together. And, you know, we talk, you know, two or three times a week. And of course, we live in two different states, but he came to me with this idea. And I actually kind of inspired you. You told me to start kind of reading your Bible a little bit. And I've kind of fallen off reading my Bible like I was at the time.
Yeah.
And so you mentioned today when we were hunting that, like, this is kind of a way for us to plug in, at least to try to get back on track, which I want to be there.
And yeah.
We all fall short. I know you do too.
Oh yeah.
And so, if we can share what we believe, you know, our the scripture, you believe what you want and, you know, maybe help you, but we're not theologians. We're just two guys that love Christ that get something out of the Bible and we want to share it with you. So if you have something you want to talk about or you would like us to kind of talk about and bring up, please send Josh a message and we'll try to research it and give you our redneck opinion on it.
Yeah. And like Patrick said, like, dude, I'm not hardly smart enough to even read the Bible, let alone like interpret to you, but like, we're going to try and give you our thoughts. And I don't know, maybe we'll get some other people that are way smarter. We can ask questions to about this. Like my pastor, Pastor Schneider, he's super and super knowledgeable about the Bible. And I'm sure Patrick has people that he could bring on too, but and like I said, I don't know how much hunting talk will be on this podcast. It's us by nature, so it probably will be.
Yeah, there'll be some. We'll probably link it back to how God really put this deer in front of me. And
But if you guys have questions or like, please comment on these things, because man, if we're out of line on something, or we think we'd like to hear people's opinions on things, because it's just going to be us like BSing about it.
Or have something affected you in your life and your walk with Christ, or if you're indifferent or you don't know, like you're on the fence, because I've been there. I'm sure Josh's question, he's been in the church since he was a little boy. I became a Christian in my 20s and really started kind of nailing it down with my wife and trying to really practice what scripture says, probably in the last year or two. And so you kind of have two different perspectives, someone who's really been in the church and someone who's kind of new to it, but had such passion. I read the whole New Testament, not super knowledgeable on most of the Old Testament, but, you know, I've got a little bit of a understanding of it, and I try to read every day, at least for 6 minutes a day, and that's my kind of saying I've been going with. You read 6 minutes a day, you can read the whole Bible in 2 years, and, you know, what do you have to lose, right? Even if you don't understand anything.
Yeah, and I think that's something that's important with the Bible is, like, I think if you're going to read it, you got to take it in those chunks, because like it's too confusing to read like, you know, a few chapters, like you can't take it in
for sure.
I think it's best to like, you know, read, like you said, 6 minutes, whatever your capacity
and get you a study Bible. Like what I did is when I started out at 6 minutes a day, I started out every morning. I'd start for 6 minutes is my goal. Right. Well, before you know it, you're reading 30 minutes.
Right.
Then you're coming home and you're reading again. And you're in again, you get this hunger for it, and you're like, oh my gosh. And then by the time you're done with it, you're like, well, now what do I do? Well, let me go to the Old Testament. The Old Testament's kind of a hard walk.
Yeah.
Just the first four chapters of the Old Testament have been really hard. But there's a lot of Old Testament, and you can skip around. I would suggest Genesis and Exodus. And then the other, Leviticus and Deuteronomy, they're a little bit hard to read. But once you kind of get past those, there's more stories. And you know, I mean, if you believe like I do, it's the truth about how our civilization began and from the beginning biblically and, you know, all the way up until Christ, a lot of the Old Testament scripture. What I found is that it leads into Christ. So you can kind of better understand how the validity of the New Testament and how it's real. So you get a lot from a lot of the prophecies of Christ from the Old Testament. So, you know, that's probably where the Old Testament really kind of seals the deal with Christ if it hasn't already done it for you.
Right. Yeah. And I'm a little bit different than Patrick, whereas like I had went to church like since I was an infant. Mm-hmm. Like my parents were Lutheran. I'm still Lutheran. I went to a Lutheran high school, went to a Christian university or Lutheran grade school, Christian university. And I'm trying to think about how to word this. There's definitely like, that's a blessing for sure. Mm-hmm. There's also this thing where like, as a kid, you're like, you're always doing that per se, like anything else, like you're kind of forced to do it as a kid. Right.
Right. Yeah.
And so I don't know if it's always like a great thing. Like it is a great thing. I don't take that the wrong way, but like, it's almost like oh man, I'm trying to say this without making it sound bad because it's not a bad thing. But like sometimes whenever your faith is part of you your whole life, and you're a little kid, like, you don't put the respect that you should on it, as someone that like finds it because of some certain reason.
Take it for granted.
Yeah, exactly. That's the word, and then all of a sudden it's just, you think it's always there, but it's like, then you quit working on it for some reason. Well,
you remember when we were in the car last time you were down and we were talking about it, because we always get on the subject of our faith when we're together.
Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and I said, you know, you've been in church all your life. And I said, look, Josh, let me tell you guys, Josh, first off, I know him personally, and he is one of the greatest human beings that I have ever met. I mean, and I say that just in his character and who he is and how being around him is just pleasant. And it's just like what you would expect, right? When you see him on the TV show, he has a passion for hunting, but he has a passion for his family. He has a passion for Christ. He has a passion for God. And just, you know, that's his focus. But he grew up going to church every week. And I said to him, I said, you know, you've been pretty blessed, because I assumed, and he kind of confirmed, you know, he hasn't been through a lot of the hardships that some of us has. And maybe it's because he stayed in God's favor his whole life because he was doing the right things. And maybe not. I might be off base.
Yeah.
But you were constantly going to church, and you kept him. Let's put it this way. You probably didn't stray like a lot of us do, because you had that compass and you knew Christ and you knew him. Whereas I was a person that didn't grow up in a household like that. So I didn't. So I had a lot of trials and tribulations in my early years that so we all have trials and tribulations that are like out of our control, right? Which you can't help those. But yeah, there's things you can control, like character, behavior, just knowing what to do and what not to do, right? And and some of us learn the hard way. And some of us just say, hey, Jesus is the truth, I'm going to try to be more like him, and we just don't do those things. Yeah. I think you fall into that category, and I definitely fell into the had a little bit harder time, a little bit more God knocking me in the head going, hey, dude.
Yeah. I think sometimes people that learn the hard way learn better.
Yes.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But we're still at the same spot, and that's what matters.
Yeah, sure.
You know?
Sure.
In our faith.
I felt like through my teens and my 20s, like, I was just going through the motions. And then really when I started to, you know, have kids, that's when I'm like, I don't know, just like, in like something this last couple of weeks is like, I want to do this, what we're doing tonight. Yeah. But then I'm like terrified to do it, because I don't feel worthy to do it. Like, I don't feel like
none of us are good enough.
So I appreciate what you said earlier about all those nice things, but it's like, I don't feel that way about myself.
It says in the Bible that we're supposed to, you know, Christ said we're supposed to try to be like him.
Yeah.
Right. We're going to fall short, and that's why he died on the cross for us. So we can't ever be perfect, and we're never going to be good enough to go to heaven. Through Christ is the only way, right? And that's what the good news is. But what I was saying with you is like, everybody's got things that they do that they're not proud of. They're not living up to their Christ thing. But I'm just telling you, as a human being, based on as good as we can be, those are my opinions of you.
Yeah.
And, you know, I feel I know you good enough from our talks and the things we've done, and just being around. I'm a good judge of character. I mean, you know, you could rob my family and steal me blind coming down here the first time you came. No, you didn't, you know? So, I mean, it's just been good, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. So that's kind of both our backgrounds, I guess, a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's always been there for me, but it's kind of one of those things where I think for a long time, I took it for granted, you know, like at a Christian university, they require you to go to chapel. It's like something that it's like, gosh darn it, you know, I don't want to go to this. Whereas like if you had the right mindset and the right heart at that time, it was something you would enjoy going to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same with grade school. Your kid, it's something they require you to do. So naturally you're like this is just something I have to do.
Yeah.
Whereas that's not what it's meant for, you know. But it's that's hard to
understand. That's the human part. That's the human part. That's the flesh. That's not what we need to do. And right. When you grow up and you mature, you realize, okay, there's more meaning to this, and it's good for my soul. It's good for my life. It's good for my relationship with my wife and my kids and with other people and how I treat other people.
Right.
You know?
And I think a lot of that's just maturity too. Mm-hmm. Like if you're in your 20s, like, or your teens, it's like, me and Patrick have been listening to the 3 of 7 podcast, which if you guys haven't listened to that, you really should.
Yeah, it's good. He introduced me to it today
and
yesterday, and we watched it, and it's, those guys are legit. I really like those guys.
And
they hunt too.
Yeah. You know? Oh yeah. They talk about hunting and stuff, but they made a good point, because a question was asked to them, like, what would you give your 23-year-old self? What kind of advice would you give? And Chad, who's like the main character in the podcast, was like, I'd do this, but it wouldn't do me any good. Like I would have to learn those lessons the hard way, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that for me. Like, I feel like I should be as much exposure and as much opportunity I had to learn Jesus and make that strong. Like, I feel like I could have taken a better opportunity in my teens and my 20s to be farther along than I am.
No, but, I think you're far along. I think you're where you need to be. Remember, we're all where we need to be based on God's time.
Yeah.
So I think you're where you need to be. And the cool thing is you didn't have to go through any of the crap.
Yeah.
That
maybe
a lot of
so.
Us go
maybe
through
so.
To get to the point where we go, all right, God, you're yeah. right. I hear you.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you a shot. I'm going to give this Jesus guy a shot. I'm going to see what he says.
Yeah.
And then you sit there and you go, wow, that really hit me here.
Yeah.
And you change your life in little ways and you get the conviction when you fail. Whereas, you know, I mean, you just,
yeah,
I don't know. There's not a better way. Like somebody like me might look at you and envy the fact that you had all those things and you had a family that took you through that. So you didn't have to maybe go through some of the emotional or just stupid stuff that you do because you didn't have that foundation. And you might look at me thinking that I know more because of what I went through. We can learn from each other. So it doesn't really matter because,
yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Right. You can still learn. You just right. don't have to go through the fire.
Yeah. And I think I think my kids taught me, my boys, was like wanting to figure out, I think it's like the wording is like to die to yourself, like to realize that you are not important.
Mm-hmm.
Like your sole focus should be more like Jesus. And that, and if you are all about yourself and your ego is in the way, that's never going to happen.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I've always like been bad about was like, I'm real selfish about things sometimes.
I think we all are because that's the way that we're designed.
Yeah.
We are now yeah. because of what, you know, I mean, but I mean, selfish is a spectrum and like mm-hmm. some people are really selfish. Like it's all about them. And those yeah. people are probably don't have Christ in their life at all.
Yeah.
Then there's some people who can be selfish, but they have the conviction of Christ to say, hey man, you know, is this really what Jesus want me to do? And then yeah. you change your actions to not fit that, to not be that way.
Yeah.
So, no, I think like, I look at you and I'm like, man, for your, cause I'm older than you. I'm 44. You're what? 31, 32 30, now,
33,
33 now.
33, yeah.
So, you know, Josh is younger than me, but, mm-hmm. I mean, he's already accomplished more than I have. He's got kids. He's got a wife. He's got a house. He's got a career. I've got a career. I've got a wife that's got a career. I never had kids. So like that whole selfishness, you know, since my childhood, I've been on survival mode. I've been mm-hmm. taking care of myself. I didn't have time to take care of another kid. Mm-hmm. And so I just never had them. So, you know, everybody's in a different situation. So like you're talking about selfishness, man, I know about selfishness because I have been and can be selfish, but man, I'm so much less selfish now. And I mean, I've always been pretty giving when it comes to like hunting and friends, but like mm-hmm. in relationships with mm-hmm. people that are close to me, like my wife or my dad or my yeah. mom, family, you know, not my mom, but you know, my family. I just, it's all God's forced it out of me.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
I feel like that's probably what's happening to me right now. Like my, whether you think I'm selfish or not, like I am like, you know, what goes through my head, what I want to do, what, you know, what I should be doing. It's like, when I had my boys, it's like, man, like I want to be, you know, more like Christ for them.
Yeah.
You know, and like my freaking deer hunting doesn't matter. My, you know, whatever the case may be is like, you know, I know I need to make sure that I'm living up to what an example for them, I guess.
Right. Right.
Imagine
being someone that doesn't have someone to be an example for.
Yeah.
That it's all about you, which is me, this guy here.
It's be super hard.
Then you get married to someone and you love them and you have to learn that you do have someone to be responsible for yeah. and to, and having to change your thought process. Mm-hmm. And it's taken me a long, I've been married for 9 years this year. It's taken, and I got married late. I got married at 35.
Yeah.
So I mean, if that tells you anything, like I was a bachelor for a long time and this is the transition and yeah. I see it. And you know what? I like myself now a whole lot more than I like myself.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
You know,
and I think that's something you learn, like, cause I'm super early in this journey. It's like, we all are like, we're never going to figure this all out. Right. We're always going to be selfish.
Yeah.
Like it's just, it is what it is. We're all sinners.
But like you say you're selfish, but are you selfish to the point? Like you don't go through with the selfishness. it's one thing to want, right? But it's one thing to want and say, F them. I'm doing what I want to do. And I am not like, I'm just gonna, I'm just going to do it this time.
Yeah.
Or do you go, you know, no, I can't do that. I really want to go hunting. I want to go elk hunting, but you know that we've got this going on and my wife would like me home. I'm going to stay home.
Yeah. But like to God, is there a difference?
Yeah, I think so. I think the thought and the action means a lot. Like, there are some scripture that says about the thought being like the action, right? Like the lust aftering people is, you know, with your eyes is just as bad as cheating in your heart, right? Or in your whatever. So that is, but I think selfishness is just inherent in all of us because I think just biologically we have to take care of ourselves. And so I just think it kind of comes natural, but that choice is where the difference is between being a Christian, walking the walk, and being a Christian, talking the talk.
Yeah. Do you think Jesus ever had selfish thoughts?
Absolutely.
Really? Because
he lived as man. Yeah, I guarantee you. He didn't want to die. You remember he went out there on the, you remember prayed, in the garden?
Prayed,
he prayed, God, please, if there's another way, you know, please let me out of this. You know, you know, don't forsake me. And
I guess maybe those are selfish.
Those are selfish because his job was to come on earth, show us how to be crucified and die. There was a plan there, right? And he was like, this is too much. Even though he was all powerful, all knowing, and God in the flesh, he still lived as a human with human thoughts. And man, he didn't want to go through what he went through.
Yeah.
Even though
he did,
it was for all of us. Yeah. But guess what? His actions showed, hey, I know I don't want to do this, but this is the plan and I've got to do it.
Yeah.
I don't want to. This is going to hurt. I'll miss my friends, my mom, my earthly mother. But this is the plan, and I'm going to go through with it. And he prayed, man. He prayed, I think, three times. He went and prayed in the garden.
For days.
And for days. Yeah, and he left his followers. Remember, told them, don't sleep. Yeah. They all went to sleep and went out there and prayed. And, you know, hey, he got his answer. You got
to
do it.
Maybe that's why he had to do that. Like, maybe that was for us to see, like, you're human flesh and blood. Like, you are going to have these desires, these wants.
Yeah, and he didn't do it,
though. This is the... This is the example of what we should be doing.
Right.
Yeah.
The greater good.
And then that's obviously what Jesus did was the extreme example of that, you know?
Yes.
It's like for us, you know, it should be super easy for us to be like, man, I probably shouldn't go deer hunting tonight. My wife wants me to do something.
Yeah. Imagine go, man, do I really have to get beaten?
Yeah.
Humiliated.
And hung on a cross.
And hung on a cross and stabbed and die in front of halfway naked in front of all these people. For a bunch of people I don't know and will never meet.
Yeah.
See, you know, at that time as a human, right? When he was in human form and in human flesh for a bunch of people, you know, think about that. Like that's how we would think about it.
Right.
And he did it anyway. So that's why it's such a miraculous thing that he did. And we should all, you know, bow down and be grateful for what he did for us, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
But I think actions are what's important to God. Some thoughts are important to God.
Sure.
And they're very laid out in scripture, but I think actions are where he looks at like, hey, you know, this is where I give you the choice.
Yeah.
This is what your flesh wants. This is what I want. If you pick what he wants, you're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call you selfish. I'd say you're pretty selfless.
Yeah. These are the conversations that are going to be cool for this show. Like to think about this kind of thing. You want to read Ezekiel 37 now? This is what we're going to talk about tonight. And Zeke, he guessed it. The title of this is Can These Bones Live? And he asked if this was about Ezekiel. I said,
Zeke, are you named after Ezekiel? Or is it just Zeke because it's cool?
No, I think it's Ezekiel.
Is it Ezekiel?
I believe so. Let us know, Zeke.
I got Zeke's a friend of mine on Facebook, too. I follow him and his dad. It's all they're pretty cool. They're fun.
Yeah. Oh, they're the best, man. We hung out a whole bunch.
Long time show. I mean, they were on the show from the original me. Like, OGs, they're OGs.
Man. Yeah.
100% OGs. And so, they still watch faithfully, man. It's awesome.
I'm going to read this. I'm going to read it slow, and we'll probably take some pauses and go through it. I'm also not a great reader, and this is from the King James Version, which I usually read the NIV, but I like some of the wording in the King James Version of this just because it uses the word sinew, and I think that's kind of cool. So this is Ezekiel 37, 1-14. And this is about God taking Ezekiel to the land of the bones, or I think they call it the valley of the bones or something like that. But 37 says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. So this is Ezekiel talking or telling this story, and God took him to these bones. And he caused me to pass by them roundabout, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. So a bunch of old bones, if you can imagine that. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And then verse 7 goes on and says, again, he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus said the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinew.
There's your word.
And I'll lay sinew upon them. And you will bring up flesh unto you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and ye shall live, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. So I, which is Ezekiel, prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. So if you can imagine this valley of bones just kind of starting to shake and starting to come back into the form of a human. And when I beheld, lo, the sinew and the flesh came unto them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. So we had a bunch of kind of soulless bodies in the valley. And then said he unto me, which God said to Ezekiel, tell them unto the wind, Son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe unto these slain, that they may live. So Ezekiel said to the bones, the breath come unto them, and they lived, and stood upon their feet, and an exceeding great army. I'll stop right there, but the chapter goes on about how this is a great army, and it was God bringing these people of Israel back to life, essentially. So I just love that story, man. It's like, I think people need to hear that. And to me, what this means, and like from what I've studied about this chapter in Ezekiel, is like, he's showing Ezekiel, or showing us, that if he can bring those dry bones back to him, mm-hmm. as, you know, this perfect person or whatever you want to call it, like, he can bring you back to him. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I got from it too. When you were reading that, I've never read that verse. I've never read Ezekiel yet. Read Isaiah, Jeremiah, and I've read, you know, Psalms, reading Psalms, and I've read, you know, the first four books. But that's what I got from it. He was basically showing his power to basically resurrect you. But it's all, a lot of it's metaphorical too.
Yeah.
I think that, and it, maybe it's he does that to show us later on that, hey, he can heal you and resurrect you. In what he wants you to be.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And people, and me including, like I get so down on myself, like about whether it be business, this podcast, whatever I'm doing, like if I'm being a good father, if I'm being a good husband, like I'm so hard on myself to the point, like my wife has to like get on to me about it, you know? And I think a lot of it is like my lack of faith sometimes. And like, God is guiding me in this. And if I just listen to him instead of worrying about what the heck's going on in my mind, it's like such a selfish thing to do. Right. It's like, you're worried about like, what if people think of me? Like, do they think I'm a bad father? Do they think I'm a bad husband? Do they think, you know, I'm doing something stupid business wise? It's like, no, it's like, you got to quit thinking about yourself in that manner and trust that God is in control.
Yeah.
No matter how down you are or like, you know, I got friends that are, you know, that I have problems with alcohol. It's like, no matter how low you are right now in your life, it's like God can take care of it. If you just got to put it on him, you know?
Well, and another thing too, is like, we were talking last night, right? I was talking about how my wife worries, and she asked me like, yeah, you don't have to worry about anything. No, there's not. What's to worry about?
Yeah.
Like this life is like this big, right? Mm-hmm. And we're supposed to do everything we can to get to the end of the line. We die. And then we go home. We go where we're supposed to go, mm-hmm. somewhere way far better than this life. Right. So like, why are you worrying about the trivial worldly stuff? Like I said, worry about your kids, worry about your wife, worry about your family. And part of that's like your health, your finances, your house. But man, you know, these are worldly things.
Yeah.
And you can't take them with us. And so, like, your kids are going to be great because, I mean, I see you with your son all the time. And, you know, and the thing is, too, when you started your Before the Echo podcast, you weren't home all the time. You know, you told me you were traveling and you were, you know, now you get to be the father that you want to be. And you get the time, which I'm big on, like, time is the most important thing we have on this earth. Like,
yeah.
If you're working a job and you're miserable and you're just like, man, what can I do? Man, think about a way to get out of that and work for yourself or something, anything, even laborious jobs, because you might be the best thing you ever did. And you might be happier because you have time to stop and enjoy life with your family.
Yeah.
And do the things you love to do. Versus trying to chase the dollar, try to chase the Joneses and get the next best thing, the new bow every year.
Yeah,
I'll relate it to hunting a little bit. The new boat, the new gun, the new this. I mean, those things come with a price, and it's your time because you have to spend more time working to have these things that you don't have time to use.
Or you're taking something away from someone you love.
Or you're taking time away from your family. So you're taking time, one, from yourself and from your family to what? You know, get you a house that's nice, man, that's good, and work, you know, enough to put back some money to take care of yourself, your family, your retirement, and then forget about all this earthly stuff, man. Get something that you can do with your family.
Yeah, that's a good point. I kind of, this popped into my mind. It's like, so many people get so, okay, I'm trying to word this to where it makes sense, and that's coming through my mind right now. So many people get so caught up in these worldly things that their job or the way they make money is almost a god to them.
Yeah.
So like they, and this is just an example, but like you buy, and if you have these things, I'm not saying like a lot of people can afford this stuff, but like if you got a big $500,000 home, you got the RV in the back, you got, you know, you got $100,000 three-quarter ton, the Nolly pickup.
Yeah.
You got, you know, you got your speedboat, you got your fishing boat, you got your whatever, it adds up, and you're thinking those things are making you happy. And then all of a sudden you're so dependent on your job that you cannot focus on anything else other than making money to pay for all these worldly things. And then you're spending so much time doing that and worrying about that, you lose focus of God or your family.
Yep.
And then it's all of a sudden like, I have to work 80 hours this week because I got, you know,
bills to pay.
Yeah. And it's like,
for crap that I can't take with me when I'm dead.
Yeah.
And yeah, they give me good experiences. They make me feel good when I'm on the lake and I got the nice fast boat, or I got the big pontoon and I'm backing in with my nice diesel Denali truck that cost me $120,000. But like, is that necessary? Like, do you
is
have
it taking
to
taking away know, from God?
Is it taking away from God? Now
you, God
it,
wants you
if,
to do.
If you're doing, if you're, if it's not, more power to you. And there, sure. And a lot of people, it doesn't.
Yeah. This isn't,
so this isn't just taking shots at anyone out there who might have this stuff.
Yeah.
Cause I am guilty until probably the last year or so of wanting things in this world that don't provide any value to my life or to my marriage or to my wife. And that's not fair. And it's not what God would want. So sometimes you got to kind of take a step back and go, all right, how's this stuff really impacting my life, my relationship,
and
my relationship more so with God and with Christ, and how this earthly crap that we get, it's just, you know, I'm spinning my wheels here, just trying to pay for this stuff to look cool and have these things I think I want when, if you really, really dug into your scripture and you really, really dug into the New Testament and you learned about God and you learned about Jesus and why he's here, you might not want to, you might not want those things as much anymore. And it might make it easier for you to give up those things because they just won't be as important as what you get from the scripture, you know, or for God.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also like, as safe and as comfortable as you think your job may be, like circumstances can change. And like, if you rely and your world revolves around that job you have, that you have to make this money because of this, is like, dude, that can be gone.
Yeah. God's never gone.
That's exactly
what I was
getting
at. God's always been and always will be.
Yeah.
In the Bible, Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
He's, and Jesus is reliable. He showed that by doing what he said he was going to do and the way he lived his life. So if you'll just rely on that, that is a stable. That's a rock to build your.
Nobody can take that away.
That is
you.
The foundation to build your life on.
Yeah.
Man, you're not going to lose out on anything.
No, you know, that can never, your faith can, everything can be taken away from you, but your faith cannot be taken away from you.
Yeah. And God, he's there to provide. He says it in the Bible. It God will provide you with everything you need.
You will have hard times.
Do the fish or do the birds long for food? Jesus talks about that in the New Testament. Do the birds, do they wonder what? No, God provides it. He provides it for us.
Yeah.
We just want more.
Right.
Because of probably the sin and the flesh and all that stuff.
Yeah. You know? And then, yeah, food is a whole other issue.
For some. For me, it's been.
Yeah, me too. Me too, man.
Wanting too much, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we worship it in some manners. Like, it makes us happy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's amazing, like, and it's little changes, and you might not notice it. It's all in God's timing, right? And we're all going to grow differently. You know, some of us are 6'8". Some of us are 5'2". Some of us are 5'10".
Yeah.
So we grew to these different heights. Well, you're going to grow in your faith the same way. Some of us are farther along. Some of us are just starting, and some of us get there faster, sooner, and some of us don't. But as long as you're getting that way, you're going to be healthier in your soul and your mind, and it can help you to kind of look at these things and go, man, that thing's not really as valuable and important to me anymore. Just why? I don't know. Maybe God just took that from me.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's the thing, is like all that crap you think is going to make you happy, all you do is get used to it.
Yeah.
And then you're not happy
anymore.
Then
you want the next thing.
Yeah.
I see these guys that go out, and I'm as guilty. I'm not, I don't do
me
this
too.
Anymore.
Like, don't,
but like, yeah, like I'm this, not preaching.
I don't have this somewhere. Figured out.
I'm like, yeah, like I'm still trying to figure this out. But yeah. Like, you know, these guys go every year and they're like, and I do it with other stuff like clothing for hunting and stuff like that. I'm like a gear nut, but they're like a bow, right? They get a new bow every year. I'm like, but you kill like five deer last year with the bow you got. Do you need to sell it for half what you paid and go buy another one for $2,000? Right. Like, why do you need to have the new one every year? Like, that bow kills. That's the point of it. Like, you know, it's like those kind of things. That's just an example. I'm not saying anybody's wrong for that. If you got the money to do it and it doesn't bother you and that's your thing and that's all you do is bow hunt. But like, if it's excessive in all aspects of life, you might want to check yourself and say, hey, look, I need to really come back in here and see what's important.
I think the biggest thing with hunting that we as hunters probably are guilty of is the time it takes away from
family,
mm-hmm. other priorities, whatever it may be.
You know, my wife and I, hunting, I used to put it above everything.
Sure. Me too.
Everything. And not long ago.
Yeah.
Like 2 years ago. And, you know, probably almost cost me my marriage. And I said to myself, I was like, you know, and that's when I started going to church and really digging into scripture. And I started reading my Bible. Read the New Testament, and it kind of gave me a new understanding. And I just, you know, it's just not as important to me anymore. I still love to hunt and I love going out there. I love chasing big bucks. I love talking about it. I love listening to stories and all that stuff. And I mean, I'm as hardcore nutty as anybody.
Yeah.
Than most people, but I had to rein it in because of the time it takes away, and it's not fair, you know? And a lot of us, I think a lot of hunters are guilty of that. I'm going, I don't care what the wife says.
Yeah.
I can miss, you know, my dad missed birthdays to go deer hunting. My birthday's in November 28th.
Right.
I don't remember being there a whole lot during my birthday because he's probably sitting up in a tree somewhere trying to kill that big buck.
Yeah.
That he ended up not even getting.
Yeah. You know? Right.
And I've done it. I've hunted on Christmases. I've hunted on Thanksgivings. I don't do it anymore. And I haven't done that in years, but up until probably the last 10 years, you know, I was like, nope, Thanksgiving morning, I'm going to be in a tree.
Yeah.
Christmas Day, I'm going to be in a tree. You know?
Yeah. I often think about that. Like, why is this so important to me? Like, it's like none of this stuff matters. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it really doesn't.
Yep. Another thing too, I think hunters say, and I'm guilty of it back before, is not going to church on Sundays.
Oh, it drives me nuts.
They say, oh man, you know, I'm in my church. My deer stand is my church. I'm in there watching sunrise with God.
Yeah.
And that's in my church.
And I've said that here on this show before.
Yeah. And I've said it. I've been like, no, man, I don't need to go to church. I said, no, you need to go to church.
Yeah.
And if you don't go to church, watch it on TV. Start by watching it on TV. Yeah. There's great churches on TV. Find one you connect with. Or at least just read your scripture on Sunday.
Yeah.
Read it in your deer stand. Take it with you on hunts. You know, get your little pocket Bible. Carry it in your backpack.
Yeah.
And every morning while you're sitting there waiting for hours on a deer to come by, flip through the New Testament. Start with Matthew and rock on, you know.
Yeah.
See how that affects you, you know.
Yeah, but God does not call us to keep, you know, the scripture to ourselves, you know.
No.
I think our sole purpose on this earth in God's eyes is to grow his kingdom, you know, and
spread the good news.
And yeah, gathering as Christians, like-minded Christians or whatever, that's something he likes.
Yep.
Or he asks.
And he brings us together too in weird situations, like you and me, right?
Right.
Like, right. I mean, I used to be a caller in on the show when he first started the show with Dan.
Yeah.
And I called in 2 or 3 times. Man, he didn't know me from Adam. I didn't know him from Adam. I happened to be going to Illinois to hunt. He happened to say something on the end of the show. And I just was like, hey, you want to meet me up there and we hunt? He's like, yeah, sure. We'll get a hotel room together. What you think? Oh, this is weird. You know, we don't know each other. We're going to stay in a hotel. And me and a
Sawyer.
Kid Sawyer that I mentor and who's been part of my life since he was a little kid. And it's like my son. Went up there with us, and dude, I was like, when we left, I said, you know, I made a new friend, and we've been friends ever since. So yeah. God brings people together, and it's probably to do, we didn't know at the time, but look, we're doing a podcast about God.
Yeah. Right.
Trying to bring the good news to other people from two dadgum rednecks that hunt, that are enthusiastic about it. And you started a show because you loved it so much and dedicated, you know, the last couple of years of your life to building your show and your stuff. So
yeah,
just God uses people, you know, to do stuff.
Like yeah.
That's our job.
Yeah. And that's what me and Patrick kind of been talking about this last couple of weeks. It's like, man, there is a lot of people that do not talk about God because they're afraid of, you know, that are Christians that are just afraid of what the perception of them might be.
Yeah. Or stomping on somebody's feet or,
or offending anybody.
People are touchy about religion, but I think there's a lot of hunger in our country right now.
It is. Yeah.
To know, hey man, you're messed up. You ain't got to quit being messed up to become a Christian.
No,
you just come on over and,
messed up too, man. Yeah.
You come over, be messed up with us and Christ will take the messed up out of you.
Yeah.
Let him do his work. You just come on.
Yeah. And we talked about this earlier today, me and Patrick driving around looking for turkeys. And, it's like, we have so many worldly definitions of what is right and wrong now. And it's like, in God's eyes, we are all sinners. Like, I don't care if you've had abortions, if you're a homosexual, if you looked at some woman's butt in the restaurant wrong. Mm-hmm. I think it's all breaking the commandments.
Yep.
And I don't think in his mind, you are any less of a, or any better of a sinner. And in our world,
we put a worldly
spin
value
on things.
Yeah. On the sin.
So yeah, I don't,
and it's all equal in God's eyes.
Yeah. I don't care if you're listening to this podcast and you're struggling with alcohol, if you've, if you're struggling with drugs, if you're struggling with whatever the case may be, it's like, we all have our struggles and just because it may be to this world, not as bad as what you're struggling with. It doesn't
worry about what God thinks, not what the world thinks.
Yeah. And also at the same point, it's like some of these simple struggles that may seem insignificant to some people, it's like, it can be a pretty heavy burden on people.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're especially, let's say you're just for instance, like the one that the world and the church put so much weight on is the homosexuality, right?
Yeah.
Man, can you imagine being gay and loving Christ, but not being able to worship God because we put such a weight on that sin,
mm-hmm.
right? Well, guess what? If you cheat on your wife, it's sexual immorality. It's the same thing. Mm-hmm. So it's like, why does the church pick on them? And I think that's what turns a lot of people off who, let's say, have friends or family members that they love and care about,
mm-hmm.
but they like go, man, the church is just bad to those people. Well, that's what's wrong with it. Like, no, you need to love them and bring them in and let God do his work on people. And that's, I'm just pointing that one out because it seems to be the go-to
that
everybody uses to trash the Christian church, that and the abortion issue and stuff. And not to get too far into that because that's kind of political.
That is hard. Yeah.
But they're political as well. But I'm just making the point that, you know, they're all the same, dude. If you sit there and you cheat on
think
your
you're
wife,
any better than someone.
Yeah, if you're ever. Cheating on your wife, you're doing something like that, or you're doing things that are not right for your marriage, or you're lying, or you're cheat, or you're stealing little bits of stuff. Like that's all the same weight in God's eyes. I think the only sin that's probably bigger is false idol. Definitely not.
And we're all guilty of that one.
Yeah. That's probably the same. It'd probably be just denying Christ would be probably the one sin that you can't
not coming to
if
God.
You don't, if you deny Christ, mm-hmm. I mean, you're going to hell. I don't know. It's in the scripture. If you deny him.
Yeah, but didn't a lot of his disciples deny him?
When I say deny him, I mean in your heart, you don't believe that he is.
Yeah, okay. I see what you're saying.
He is who he said he is. You don't put your faith in him.
Right.
And you say, no, Jesus is a fraud. I'm not believing in him, blah, 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 blah. That's the denial. When Peter was scared, when the girl recognized, said, hey, you were with Jesus. Who was Jesus? And then three times he denied. Well, Jesus said that. But in the end, he did what was right. And that's what matters.
Yeah. Yeah.
Heavy stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's good stuff, though.
It's heavy stuff, but it's good stuff.
Yeah.
I mean. We're spitballing, guys.
Yeah.
We're just like,
this is all live too. So like, if we see something, we may not mean all of it. Like, we may come out about it later and go, yeah, that's probably not right.
Let's just do something. We're trusting God right now.
He's giving us these words.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully it's not the other way around.
Hopefully. I think so.
Yeah. I had a thought in my head and I can't remember it. It'll come to me in a second. Oh. Here's what I think is the biggest issue right now is, it's probably not right now, but just in general with humans is like the judgmental, how judgmental we are as humans.
Mm-hmm.
Like we are so fixated on other people's problems that we hold ourselves so high.
Well,
that,
social media, man, it's other people's lives. You know, I mean,
that's what it is.
When you get on, so if you get on a hunting forum for your state, you know, let's say like yours, Indiana deer hunters or mine, Tennessee deer hunters, and you see these people that trash people all. And look, man, I've done it before. I've trolled people and I mess with people and it's stupid and I get convicted. And if you knew half the stuff that I started to say that I was convicted, that I took away, that I've said, okay, delete. And it's because Christ tells me like that ain't what I want you to do. Slow down here, cowboy. Just leave it alone. And like, it, just to kind of bring it back to the hunting show, into the hunting, and how we just an example of how we are like not loving to each other and we're mean to each other over stupid stuff. When like, man, like you and I said today, I was just glad to go hunt with my dad on the weekends when I was a kid,
right?
And I wanted to see deer, and I want to see everybody else's deer. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I had another thought too. Now I can't remember it. We've already been on for almost 50 minutes. We ought to just start looking through comments. It'll probably bring up more.
See if we got any
more
questions.
Things to talk
we
about.
Can talk, just talk about it. I don't know if we can answer them.
Yeah, we can at least spitball about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, everybody, if you guys got anything out, getting anything out of this, make sure you hit the subscribe button.
Like.
We'll do more of this stuff.
Maybe God will bless us and this will help some people and help us. And
what's up, Zank?
I like it.
What's up, Zeke? Me and Zank ran about 25 miles on Saturday together.
Yep.
We were going to do a podcast about that, but we were just tired afterwards.
Dude, you wore him out. He's been limping around here.
Oh, stop it.
Crying all day long. Couldn't get up. You'll see it in the video. He couldn't get up this morning after he shot his turkey. I'm stuck.
Zeke has something that I think he's agreeing with me here. He says, I grew up in church and needed someone outside to light the fire under me. And yeah, dude, I think that's where I was at, you know?
Yeah.
I've always had it there in me, but I never took it serious because it's always been there.
Yeah. Well, sometimes too, you got to see someone who's maybe, you know, sometimes people that have, like you said, you take for granted, right?
Yeah.
And then you see someone who's like on fire because they just found it and they show you how good it is. And you go, you know what? Jesus is pretty good. And he's been pretty good to me. And I really realized that today. And I know it, but I haven't thought about it in a while, how good God's been to me.
Yeah.
And even in the down times, God's good to me. And even in the good times, God's good to me.
Yeah.
And sometimes we just, you know, and I think we need that.
Yeah. I think, and I said earlier I had something pop in my head, and this is what it was. So it's
okay.
Off topic.
Here we go.
So I've been thinking, like, as of recently, not very long, less than probably 6 months, I've been really, like I said, I've been trying to work on my faith a lot more. And something that's really helped me is anytime it could be like some random stuff I'm doing, nothing important to you guys or you, Patrick, but like oftentimes I'll be thinking like in my mind, something I shouldn't be thinking about or, you know, gossiping about someone or whatever the case may be. And I always try to think to myself, like, what would Jesus think right now if he heard me saying this?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He don't want us to speak ill of anybody.
No. And that's
gossip. God hates gossip.
Yeah.
And like we talk about people we know.
Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah,
but we're, I mean, doing it today. Friendly manner, but we love them.
Yeah.
And we care about them. So I don't know if that makes it better when we're like, hey, this is so funny. Let me tell you about this.
I mean,
but with an ill intention.
Yeah. That's,
I think it's terrible.
Me too.
It's the worst thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And talking bad about someone just because like there's no place for, like, there's no place for it. Like, are you getting out of this?
What do you like? Are you making yourself feel better?
Other than to hurt them more.
Yeah. Or are you trying to make yourself feel better? Are you trying to look better to the person you're talking to?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cause we don't matter, man. No. All that matters is that we inspire people to come to Christ.
And I think it can be as big as, or as small as what you can think in your mind. Like it can be your buddy that did something wrong and you're telling other people about it. Or it could be like, I don't know. What's the popular Diddy right now? Like, you know what I mean?
It's
like,
intention,
you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if that's, if is there a, I don't know if there's a difference. Like if you're spreading that stuff that's going on about him or about your buddy, like it's all, you know, it's not good either way.
No.
You're not getting anything out of it. You're just gossiping.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Social mediaing.
Yeah. Social media is really bad. And I think everybody on here is good because you can do stuff like this.
Sure. Yeah. Here we are on social
media. Here we are on social media, but we're using it for good. Or it's like any tool. It can be used for the devil.
Yeah.
Or it can be used for a godly thing. And, you know, I think Josh's channel, your channel before the Echo, has just been so good and innocent and just good. And that's a testament to you. And, you know, kissing his butt a little bit, but I mean, I really genuinely believe this about Josh, and he's younger than me. Like I said, I look at him and I'm like, man, he's really doing some good things here. And I'm really glad that you invited me to do this with you.
I think
I needed this. And I told you today, you know, I was like, you know, what is God's purpose for me?
Like, you're saying that, like, you wish you knew what it was.
Yeah. Like I could be a poor man blessed by God and doing his purpose over being a rich man. You know, like, I'd rather be poor and blessed and doing what God wants me to do with a full and happy heart than to have all the money in the world, you know, and be able to do whatever I wanted to do. And so, like, I pray, like, God, what do you want me to do? Because I'm still like, man, so I'm a landscaper. I cut grass for a living. I have my own business. I started that. I was a police officer for 10 years. Before that, I had other various jobs, you know, bouncing and just had a tile business that, you know, when I was too young to own a business. And, you know, here I am, I'm 44, and I'm still not sure
if this is what need to be,
God's purpose is for me, what I need to do. And, you know, maybe this could be it, you know, or something else. But, you know, I mean, that's kind of what I strive for now rather than just looking to make money to have things.
And you know what, though? Like, I'm kind of stealing this from Chad Wright, but, like, sometimes I think we worry about too much about that. Like, I think our purpose may be to just keep going, you know, and, like, we put too much emphasis on how smart we are as humans, like, and trying to figure all this stuff out. It's like, no, God says that you're not going to understand all this. You know, it's not going to make sense for you, but I have a plan for you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I think we get caught up in like, what am I supposed to be doing right now? It's like, well, just keep following him. That's what you're supposed to be doing.
Yeah.
You know,
and doing what he says to do.
Yeah.
And I think he'll bless
you. That's what I meant by that. Yeah.
He'll bless you along the way.
Yeah.
Like, I think the better servant you are to God, he blesses you, and he doesn't bless all the servants. I mean, you look at some of the servants in the Bible that were staunch in the trials that he put them through.
Yeah.
And that to make them go, God.
And you know really what though, there? Like, not to get passionate about this, but it's like, man, we like, I have these exact same thoughts as you do. Like, what should I be doing? It's like, man, he tells you what to do.
Yeah. You every know? Time.
It's like, it's
go,
it's
go to your there. Bible.
Yeah.
Go
it's
to
written
Bible.
Down for you in yep. there. Like, yep. Why is it so confusing to some to us?
Because we're human and we're,
I know, man. It's crazy though.
Stupid.
Yeah. Like, we have all these worries and these fears, and we worry about, you know, it's all ego based. It's all like, what's gonna happen to me? What's you know, why do I feel this way? It's like, yeah.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It's when you come to Christ, you gotta drop your ego at the door.
Yeah. Die to yourself. You gotta quit worrying about you. You know, it's not about you.
But anymore. It's a transition. So, I mean, like, man, I mean, people that are out there that are, say, struggling with addiction.
Yeah.
Or struggling with infidelity.
Yeah.
Man, they're scared because they don't want to give that sin up. Because, man, no. sin feels
you don't wanna,
sin
they
feels
don't
really
open that Bible
good,
because they're going to tell you something. It's going to tell you something you don't want to hear.
Right. But, and sin feels really good.
Yeah.
It just naturally, like, doing those things feels really good.
Yeah.
But when you turn to Christ, it's a whole better way of life, and you'll be a lot happier.
Right.
And I'm not saying that, like, and that's why I think, like, if you go and you sin and you, like, you can still come to Christ. You don't have to be perfect before you get there. Just come on in and then learn about Christ, and then he'll take it from you. If you really, truly want to open your heart and you want him to take it from you, he'll deliver you from it. Yeah. Man.
And I've heard a lot of people, like, they're confused about their faith, or they're confused about, things don't make sense to them in
right,
the Bible,
right,
or
right.
There's stuff that doesn't seem to add up. And it's like, I know, but it's one of those things where I don't know what I'm exactly well,
find
to
a
say,
the thing like, is like, find somebody solid, a pastor that's solid.
Yeah.
For me, it was a guy in Connecticut. He's got a YouTube channel. He's been doing it for like 30 years, going to campuses at liberal arts colleges and debating students. He doesn't force his beliefs on anybody. He just tells them, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you tell me what you think. And then explains why his faith is what it is. His name is Cliff Connectly. It's K-N-E, K-N-E-C-H-L-E. It's like Natchel, but it's Connectly is how they say it.
Okay.
He's got a church up in Connecticut, and his name of his YouTube is Ask Cliff. And that guy breaks down, and he's articulate. He's read all, he's Quran, he's read all the Buddha, he's read all it, and he can tell you. And when he gives you that evidence, you're like, it makes sense. It unlocks that little door that's kind of keeping you from saying it, like, yeah, but what about these other religions? But like, why? Yeah. And then when he explains it the way he does, you go, that's why those other religions.
I've seen him on
the same
on social media, but I've never like dug in deep.
Man, he's good.
Okay.
He has done more for my walk than anything. Watch him every Sunday. We watch him.
All right, let's keep going through these comments here. Zank says, I listen to a podcast that breaks down a little section at a time. He's talking about the Bible. Mm-hmm. Comment what that is, Zank, what the podcast is. I'm pretty sure you told me the other day. Because that'd be good. Because a lot of people are driving or whatever they're doing, and you could just listen to that for 10 minutes a day. That'd be good. Oh, yeah, here's Zeke says, I got my Christianity jumpstart in basic training at Fort Benning, Georgia, but had ups and downs along the way. And I think I think the ups and downs are, think that's what people with their faith think. It's like this, you know, it's like, no, that graph it's probably gonna look like this. You know?
Yeah. But another thing too is like, what's always scared me off about Christianity is the glad hand smiling do gooder. I'm better than you.
Yeah,
and it scared me from going to church for a long time.
Yeah.
Until you realize when you find a church, like, hey man, these people are jacked up too. Like there's a lot of jacked up people in church,
yeah,
but they love Christ and they're trying to be better.
Yeah.
And Phil Robertson said it one time. He said, and this is what got him to become a Christian. He says he had a friend, he says, and it was explaining the good news to him. He says, so all I got to do is believe in Jesus Christ and love God with all my heart, love my neighbor, you know, and treat my neighbors like I'd want to be treated and try to be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Well, heck, I can do that. Sign me up. And you look at where he is and his faith and how he's converted and baptized people, you know, at his home.
Yeah.
And
right.
how people look at him and his family spiritually, and look at what God's blessed him with.
Yeah.
Off of making duck calls.
Yeah.
And these guys just made duck calls, and all of a sudden they're millionaires, but they're still grounded in their faith with Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And he's super open about how bad of a person he was.
Oh, he was bad. They made a video. Did you say they made a movie on it called The Blind?
Yeah.
About how he was, you know, I think he was an adulterer. He was a drunk.
Yeah.
He was just a horrible father.
Yep. I think they thought he was just going to die. I mean,
I think his wife kicked him out.
Yep.
But she kept praying and God answered the prayers. Yep.
Zeke had a real good comment that I think I want to elaborate on a little bit. He says, one thing people need to know as Christians is tests, trials, and hard times can come no matter how far along you are. In fact, sometimes the farther you are, the harder Satan works to get you.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
The devil's quiet when you're not following God.
Yeah. Cause you're working for him.
Yep.
Why does he need to bother you? You're
doing
good.
He's the ruler of this world.
Yeah.
Make no mistake. He rules this world. He rules the flesh.
Yep.
We win in the end, but he's going to have a lot of victories in the war. But you know, we win in the end. This is what matters.
Yeah. That's a. Oops. I hit the printer button for some reason. Don't want to do that. That's a really good statement, Zink. Because I think it's important to know too that God says in scripture that we will experience, as a follower of Christ, you will experience hard times. And it's like, now it's helpful to be close to God to get through those hard times, but like, it's going to be tough sometimes.
God's not going to keep the rain from hitting you, the storm from coming.
No,
but he's going to get you through it.
Yeah.
You know,
he's going to give you the words to get through it. So that's a really it's an interesting thing to think. Like if you feel like things are going good, are you, you know, like, I don't know.
I think when things get going good, we start to do like what you're talking about.
Complacency.
We take for granted.
Yeah.
Complacent in our walk. I've been like complacent, man.
It's kind of like, do you pray every day? Do you pray every hour? Or do you pray, oh, I need something, let me pray real quick.
Yeah, see, I don't ever pray for things I need. I pray for what God wants me to have.
Right.
I used to pray, God, please let me pass this test. God, please let me get this girl. God, please let me, you know, do whatever, right?
Yeah.
Please let me kill this deer.
Yeah.
Now I just go, thank you for what you give me. Mm-hmm. And what your will be done. I mean, God, Jesus tells you how to pray.
Yeah.
You know, our Father who art in heaven, the Lord's prayer. You pray that prayer every night before you go to bed, and you repent, you know, every chance you get for what you, because we're sinning every day, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I probably sin 20 times a day. I don't know how many.
Yeah, maybe me and you could go through the Lord's Prayer one time, because I think as kids, a lot of times, especially in school or in Sunday school, you learn those prayers, but you don't know what they mean.
Yeah, but that's really important prayer. And
I
Jesus.
Know, but I think it's important to understand what it means.
It would,
like some people can recite that whole prayer, but like there'd be like, you could be like, okay, what's it mean? And you'd be like, you know what I mean? I think there's a lot of people like that.
Well, I think there's a lot of people that don't know. And like you and I were talking too, man. And probably maybe out here, people watching too. And I was guilty of it. I mean, how many Christians that say they're Christian and follow Christ, how many of them have ever read the New Testament? Like, can you be a Christian without reading the gospel? Like, that's a question for me. Can you be a Christian without reading the gospel? Like, do you really in your heart know what,
right.
If you don't know in your heart what Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John say about Jesus Christ, because you've read it yourself, you read about the death and resurrection of Christ and the things that he did. If you haven't read that, do you really have the knowledge based on your own understanding in your heart to say, I know what he did and I'm a Christian, or I follow Christ and he's my Lord and I follow him wherever he wants me to go. I don't know. It's kind of like taking a drug without reading the side effects, right? Or reading what it's going to do
blindly.
For you. Blindly. You're just, hey, Josh said that I need to follow Christ. So I was inspired by what you said, Josh. So yeah, I'm a Christian now. I believe Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Yeah. But do you really know what he did? No, but I just believe, because you said, I think there's a lot of Christians that do that, man. A
lot of lukewarm Christians.
There's a lot. I mean, I've called myself a Christian for
me
years
too.
And never wrote the New Testament.
That's probably how I would define me whenever I was younger. It's like,
through the motions.
Or I wouldn't, you know, I think when I was in my 20s, this right here probably wouldn't have happened. You know, I'd have been too ashamed, or not ashamed, but just nervous or scared.
Embarrassed.
Yeah.
Not want to step on anybody's toes.
Yeah.
How many toes did Jesus step on?
Only thing I'd be thinking about is like, what are people going to think of me if I do this?
Yeah. Jesus didn't care.
No.
He stepped on a lot of toes. He was a radical revolutionary, man.
Yeah.
He was I like to call him, he was an outlaw preacher. They hated his guts and he kept going. And man, look at what he did.
Oh. Let's see here. What's up, Mushroom Matt? Hope you're doing good, man. It's good seeing you in Wisconsin. What's this here? Some song, Zeke? Sorry, I'm everyone should listen to the song Spirit Wind after this by Casting Crowns.
Yeah, great band. You listen to Casting Crowns?
I mean, I probably have.
Yeah, they're good.
I may know that song. I just I'd have to hear it.
Yeah, I don't know the songs, but I know I hear them, you know, on the radio and stuff. They're good. And look, man, I still listen to all my rock and roll and stuff like that. Alternative music. I mean, I've been more.
Sorry to interrupt you.
No.
I've been more conscious about my intake lately, mm-hmm. like what I'm listening to.
Yep.
And it's kind of had. I've kind of noticed a difference, like in how I think.
And probably how you, how your attitude is too during the day.
Yeah.
Or your happiness level.
Yeah. Are you listening to this, you know, songs about some very simple things? Are you listening to podcasts or real, you know, stuff you shouldn't be consuming, right. you know, stuff like that. It's something I've been trying to pay attention a little more to.
Yeah.
Especially with music. Music is full of that real, I mean, you know,
Well, they don't make music anymore, man. It's all just, you know, that music died in the 90s, in my opinion. But I will say there's a good revival coming on with some of these underground country artists.
I agree.
We've really
been listening to Stephen Wilson.
Really Jr. good, man. I mean, I love, dude. I went, and if y'all hadn't seen it, man, I went and saw Anthony Oliver, or Oliver Anthony. And, man, that was a great concert. He read the Bible scripture at the very beginning. Dude's something special, man. Go see him.
Timothy says, materials are just materials. They don't provide the security that God provides 24/7.
Absolutely.
100%, man.
He gave them to us anyway. All these materials that we have on this earth.
Yeah.
Who you think put them here? You know, so. Maybe these Beatles, maybe God could do something about these Beatles.
I know, right?
Smacking the in the head.
Hey, we're in the dark. We got the only light on over our head here. So here we go. This is something that you may have to help me with this, Patrick.
Yeah.
Blasphemy is the Holy Spirit is the unforgivable sin.
Yeah.
Zeke said that.
Yeah, yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? I don't
understand. He's talking about just blasphemy, just basically just denouncing him. And saying that he's not who he is.
What we were saying earlier, trying to
basically just make him just, I mean, it's more than just talking bad. I mean, that's part of it, but like just trying to get other people to not believe, you know, if you're a non-believer, you know, what you do in this world to affect other people in their faith also matters to God.
Yeah.
And like, if you're someone that takes up the faith and you get stuff like, my friend and I were talking about this the other day because I have tattoos on my arms that are they're religious. Oh God, they're religious. They're religious tattoos. You know, I have Psalms 23 written on my arm. I have a line of Judah, Calvary, a dove, a lamb. You know, things that are important to me with my Christian faith.
A turkey feather,
whatever that means. I don't think that's in the Bible. There's a lot of doves and stuff like that, and eagles, but I don't think there's a gobbler in it. But hey. Anyway, and you know, if you're, you know, wearing these, man, if you do that, you got to think about how you represent.
Yeah.
Because if you see someone who's not a believer and they see you and you're out there acting like a fool and yelling and cussing,
you're representing
something. You're representing Christ, and it's not a good representation, and God doesn't like that either.
Yeah.
You know, that's blasphemy in a way. You know, this stuff going on with the music industry and the culture with the satanic worship on stage and things like that. I mean, that's blasphemy.
Yeah. You know, that's crazy. Oops, sorry about that. I haven't read that comment yet, so I'm not sure what it said, but we may get to it. Zeke says, we are to love but teach. If you tell someone that their sin is okay, you are not showing them love. God loves them, but always wants repentance and us to help them through repentance.
Amen.
That's a really hard thing to do, though, man.
Yeah, I mean,
it's hard to tell someone they're doing something wrong, you know?
Yeah. And I think a lot of us are like, it's none of our business. But I mean, are you furthering the kingdom? Are you doing what God wants you to do?
Yeah.
But a lot of it has to do with, you know, sometimes you got to let God work on people. It's not your job all the time. You can bring them the good news. Like they said, what is it? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't force them to drink. You got to be the example. Your example, Josh, is the best way to turn people into Christians. Because, man, if you're living life and you're happy and you treat people good,
right,
and they notice a change in you, they want what you got. Man, have you ever seen people that, like, man, I'm so jealous of people that can just recite scripture off the top of their head.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, when they say, you know, Romans 15.
Yeah. How do they remember that?
I'm like, man, like Cliff, he'll say it. He was like, said it the other day on a George Janko podcast, Romans 15. When Paul was talking about how he didn't want to sin, but yet he did the things he didn't want to do, and he couldn't do the things he wanted to do. Like that guy right there, I'm like, I want to be like that guy.
Yeah.
Even though I had to give up all this fun sin that's going on with me, probably, you know, that I can't help myself with, that I pray about, I want to be like that guy, you know? Yeah. I think we all look at people like that and think that subconsciously.
Let's see here. What do you think about this, Patrick? Sean says, bring Christ back to schools. Take time away from the internet and get back to the land and outdoors.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Evil.
Well, I was talking to you. I grew up, my mother died when I was 10, and my dad raised me. I was kind of in a household where, you know, I guess he felt bad because my mom died, and then I had a stepmother that just didn't really, you know, we didn't get along at the time. Whether she was right or wrong, I don't know, but it was rough growing up. And, you know, what was the question? Because I got sidetracked.
It wasn't really a question. He was just saying that bring Christ back to schools, take time away from the internet and get back to the land and outdoors.
Oh, that's what I was going to say, is my dad taking me to the outdoors kept me from going down the path. I was going to say my friends that were in single mother homes, heroin overdose, died, they're in jail. These are kids I grew up with, and I made it out. And that's because I believe my dad took me outdoors.
Yeah.
I had a Christian grandmother. My grandfather was a reverend. I didn't know him. Like, you know, he died when I was young, and he was kind of out of his mind, so he wasn't able to teach me anything about Christ. But my grandmother did, and she left me like all kind of notes that I just now found that I've been reading.
That's cool.
And yeah, like on how to live and how to deal with a marriage and how to deal with kids and things like that from a biblical standpoint. So I had her, and, you know, we used to do a moment of silence, and we used to pray in school, and we used to talk about God, and it was in God we trust. And when they took that out, man, it seems like these generations now it's hard on them.
I have a probably an unpopular opinion about that.
What was that?
School. I think in the U.S., we've created this culture for some reason where parents like feel like our government, the school, has some kind of obligation to teach our kids how to live.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, okay, because there's not prayer in school anymore, your kid's not a Christian. Like, that's your problem, buddy. Like, what are you doing at home? Why are you not a Christian yourself? Are they not following in your footsteps?
Well, like, the government is antichrist.
Yeah.
The government does not want anything to do with Christianity. They don't want to, they're there to represent everybody and everybody's opinion and make everybody happy to a point so that they are needed.
Yeah.
Cause we only need Christ.
Yeah.
Right. We need our Christ, and we need our family and our friends.
Yeah.
We don't need the government for a dang thing, but the government wants us to need them for everything. So I think it's a plan, man. And I'm not trying to get on the rabbit hole here, but they want to take that. And I think Americans are lazy. Mm-hmm. They're more than happy to let the schools raise their kids.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's like, I mean, I don't think in my personal opinion, a kid going to a private school or even a Christian school and requiring them to say the Lord's Prayer every morning is going to make them a Christian.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that would be fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that those are bad things or it's a good thing that Christ is not in schools. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that it's not an excuse for your kid not to know how to follow Jesus or at least get the opportunity.
And it's not their job because, you know, if I was Muslim, I wouldn't want the school teaching my children about Christianity. I wouldn't want school. Now, that's for them.
Mm-hmm.
We need to be examples and have them ask us and hope and pray for them.
Yeah.
But we don't want anybody stepping on our belief.
Yeah.
And in a point, the school thing steps. And you got to kind of take yourself out of like, we know in our mind what's right and what's good. Right.
Yeah.
Not everybody does. And a lot of people don't think what we know that's right and good is right and good. So you can't do that. Like, as much as I'd love for that to be in school. But I don't think anyone should be ostracized. I don't think it should be like this big thing you don't do and say, oh, we don't talk about God. No, if they want to talk about God, that's fine. If the Muslims want to talk about Muhammad, that's fine. Let the chips fall where they may. And if this kid decides to follow Christ and this kid decides to follow the Quran, and then that's just the way it is. You pray for him as a Christian.
Yeah.
But I don't, that's where I think the government just stays the heck out of our business.
I just think, it's a weird thing. A culture we've created in America that we rely on these government employees to like raise our kids for us.
Yeah.
You know,
and who are they?
Yeah.
Who in the heck are they?
No. No one.
It's our duty.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not a parent, but it's your duty as a parent.
Yeah.
To teach your kids about Christ and pray that it sticks.
Right.
And be the example so that when they grow up, they say, my daddy's my hero. And my daddy, would give anyone the shirt of his back. My daddy, you know, never, you know, just openly yelled at my mom or never disagreed with my mom in front of me and never disrespected my mother. And my daddy taught me, you know, this is, you say yes, sir, no, sir. And you know, and this and that, these are right. Just try to be like Christ. And then that's the example is what leads them to being more Christ.
Yeah. And Sean, I'm not saying you do that at all, man. I just was, that's something that I get frustrated with, in America. Let's see here. Mm-hmm. Looks like Zeke already kind of covered what we just talked about in the comments for us.
Zeke's on it, dude. Need to have Zeke on, man.
Yeah, we could do that sometimes.
Yeah.
Sorry, guys. I'm reading you some kind of fast, so if I miss anybody's good comments, I really apologize. I think that's all of them. We got to the end of them.
Cool.
For the most part. You got anything else to say before we go?
No, just thanks for letting me do this with you. And I hope we'll do it more. It's good. And I hope everybody likes it and hope it blesses everybody.
Yeah.
I really
if they don't.
It doesn't really matter. Yeah. We're doing what we're supposed to do.
Right. Whatever.
You
know?
You don't like it, there'll be a hunting. We'll do a hunting podcast, or Josh will do a hunting podcast too. So we'll put some videos out for you if you know. You ain't gotta watch everything. But maybe some of this will wash off on you.
Like to be frank, like I don't know, man. The older I get, or the more time, you know, I think about life and myself and my family and you guys. I think about you guys all the time. Like my audience is like, what am I doing with this blessing I've had of these people that listen to me talk on the internet? And it's like, you know, deer hunting and all that, that's great and awesome. We all love it. That's listening to this podcast or hunting in general, but it's like, what can I do to make these people better? You know, instead of just talking about freaking some 110 inch deer I killed in Ohio or what, you know,
I think the outdoors, man, for me, you know, and it is like I said that about Sundays, church is my outdoors, but we all as hunters should be. And I think I like to believe that the vast majority of us are thankful to God for his creation and what it does for our soul. There's something special about watching the sunrise come up, about taking a deer, about feeding your family with game you've killed. And there's just something about it that is soul. You feel it in your soul. It's special. It's like, I remember on a show, you and Dan were talking and you were like, you know, I sit there and think like, what would I do if I don't hunt? And you're like, I don't know. I just hunt. I've always hunted. I'm always going to hunt. I feel the same way. Maybe I'll get older and be like, I don't hunt as much, but I've been doing it since I was, you know, on my daddy's shoulders when I was 6 years old, carrying me through the bottoms squirrel hunting, you know, started hunting when I was 10 and just, I've been doing it every year. Have never missed a year deer hunting my whole life. Missed a lot of things, but I hadn't missed that.
Yeah.
And I think it grounds you. I think it shows, like, if you're just in a concrete jungle somewhere, you don't get to see God's magnificence. You see man's magnificence, which ain't all that great. We destroy, he creates, you know? And I think hunting is a good way for us to share our faith and for us to introduce people who might, you know, not be doing what they should do, but feel like they want to be part of something like that.
Right.
You
know? And I have said that before, like if I didn't have hunting, I don't know what I would do, but like, man, that's a bad thing to say. You know, that's going back to what I was saying earlier about, like, you're putting your value or what you are in something that can be taken away from you. Yep. It's like, you know, that mindset that I was talking about back then, however many years ago that was, like, that's things I've been trying to change. You know, it's like, that should not be the definition of who I am, you know?
No, but it gives you an outlet, though, to where you can do what we're doing tonight. Mm-hmm. Think about what it's done for you just by doing what we did. Think about what,
for sure.
Think about what it's done for God's kingdom, that you have been passionate about hunting, that you and I met, and I'm passionate about hunting, and that these viewers online love watching you and following you that are passionate about hunting. And now we're talking about Jesus.
Yeah.
And we talked about him a couple of weeks ago, and it sticks with some people.
Yeah.
And maybe this will stick, and maybe somebody will watch this later on tonight or tomorrow when they're thumbing through your shows and that you have time, and they might go, man, that was really good. And send you a message. Say, maybe you do more of that.
Yeah, for sure.
I really got a lot out of it, you know, and,
yeah, and I'm going to get a lot out of it.
Oh, I already have, man. I love talking about Jesus.
And, yeah.
Yeah. You know, I love talking about hunting. I love talking about Jesus.
Yeah, me too.
That's pretty much my two things.
Me too. And I guess I want everybody to know that, like, me and Patrick, I think I can talk to Patrick about this. It's like a couple things. One, like, if we are giving you advice on how to live or what you should or should not be doing, it's probably because we've been screwing this up for our whole lives and we're trying to figure it out ourselves, right?
Yeah.
Like, if we recite some Bible verse to you that teaches us that we're doing something wrong and this is how we should be doing it, it's probably because we were doing that thing wrong
and we found
it and it impacted us for some reason. And that the Ezekiel 37, that thing, like, whenever I read that for the first time, I'm like, wow, man, like, I'm a warrior. Like, I have anxiety. Like, sometimes I just worry about things.
See, I don't worry about anything. Right. Does your wife worry a lot or not?
Yeah.
Yeah. Women do. Yeah. I think it's a woman thing. Josh, you...
No, I meant like,
you trying to tell me something?
Not worried in the manner of, like, what's going to happen tomorrow. I worry about, like, what people are going to think of me.
Yeah. See, I did used to worry about, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. It's going to ease your mind. The older you get, the less F's you get.
Well, I'm starting to figure that
the
out.
The older you get, the less you worry.
Even like, I'm trying to give you an example of like, I don't know, like, the worry that I'm thinking of is, it's anxiety. It's like, you know, I would have, this is a real weird example, but, like, I'm an elder at church, at my church, we're Lutheran. And, I have to go up and give people, like, help pastor with communion. And I would get anxiety doing that. And it was to the point where I would, like, think to myself, like, I don't want to go up there. It's like, I'm doing something for God here. Like, why am I being so dang selfish that I'm letting some kind of, like, emotion think that I don't want to do this? And, you know, I always do. I've never not gone up there and done it. But those things that I think me and Patrick have been talking about this for a couple of weeks, and I'm sitting there worried, like, man, is this going to ruin my channel? Is this going to, are people not going to like this? Are people going to be offended? And it's like, no, that's, you're thinking of people are, I'm like thinking of why people, what people are going to think of me instead of just, like, doing what God.
Well, remember, your reward is in heaven. It's not here.
Right.
So the things you do here, that you'll be rewarded in the place that matters. And he'll reward you here too. Don't get me wrong. He looks out for his people. But yeah, I mean, everybody struggles with anxiety. I struggle with it a lot more when I was younger. Yeah, I don't give a crap anymore, man. Yeah. Brandy will tell you, like, to a fault. It's like, since we married, she's like, man, he's, and I used to just say whatever's on my mind. I don't do that anymore because of my faith now.
Yeah.
But I mean, life's too short to worry about, man. You're who you are, and God made you perfect the way you are.
Yeah.
He made you perfect. And if you're walking in him and trying to be more like him, then you're doing the right thing.
Right.
And, you know, man, I used to just fly off the handle and say things and do things and, I'm telling you, I'm as bad as it gets. ADHD, man, I just say whatever the heck was on my mind, but it's reined back. And my wife will tell you, she's like, you're a totally different person now since you read the New Testament and really put your you know, money where your mouth was.
Yeah. I just want to say that because, like, none of this is coming. Like, this is stuff that God sent us, like these little lessons that we've had to learn because for whatever reason, God put that in front of us and it helped us. So we're trying to pass that on to you guys.
Yep.
Not because we think we're better than you. It's because we struggle too.
Nah, man.
So, all right. If you got something out of this, hit that subscribe button. Share it with someone.
Please.
Send it to them.
Thanks for letting me talk to you guys.
Yeah, we'll hop on soon enough. Let me know how often you want us to do these or if you got topics you want to discuss. Just put them in the comments. I go through all the comments every day on YouTube. So good or bad, just put them on there. And thanks for hopping on tonight. And we will talk to you guys in the future.
Good night. God bless.
Bye.